It's great that you know how to find things in your Bible, and it's also great that you have buried it in your heart. I realize that it's one thing to memorize a verse. It's a totally different matter to stand up in a group and say that verse by memory. The pressure is significant. I realize that. So this morning we want to talk about what do I do when I don't want to read my Bible? What if you don't want to read your Bible? It's actually a common struggle for believers. We know that reading Scripture is good for us. We know we're supposed to. But when the choice to read comes, or doesn't come, with feelings of enjoyment, or we end up choosing other things instead, we sink into guilt and discouragement. Ever been there? Many of us wrestle with a basic problem. What if we don't want to read the Bible in the first place? This can be tough to admit for some of us. For many believers, Bible reading, especially as part of a daily devotional schedule, is one of the big shoulds of our faith. In fact, that's likely part of the issue. Many of us have been told that we should read the Bible, but we've hardly ever been told how to stick with it, or why we should want to in the first place. In Western culture, we've come to assume certain components for our Bible reading. Solitude, silence, an hour or two of good reading, study, meditation, and prayer, and good coffee in an inspirational mug. Perhaps some soft worship music in the background, right? You get it. But these actually aren't biblical requirements for engaging with God's Word, nor are they realistic for everyone. When we feel bad about our engagement with Scripture, we might not have a God-given reason to. Why? Because there's no command in the Bible about having a daily quiet time in the way we may have come to understand it. In fact, actually, if you look at Scripture, Bible reading was often done corporately. The idea of doing it by yourself silently wasn't nearly as strong. Most people, when asked about their Bible reading, they say, "I've been really busy." Those same people who are really busy do have time to eat food and sleep. There are people who have their entire day and evening mapped out for them. They are extremely busy, and yet they still read their Bibles. Others who claim busyness are up to date on the news, they watch movies, they use social media, they exercise, and a host of other things. In pursuit of a true diagnosis here, let's be honest. None of us are truly too busy to read the Bible. And actually, I don't need to remind you of the math. We all have 24 hours in a day. None of you get shortchanged that way. We may be busy, but we choose to put the Bible aside for one reason or another. There is time for even the busiest of us. It's a matter of priorities. So, let's be honest. Do you find the Bible boring? Now, don't stand up. Don't raise your hand. You wouldn't want to do that because everybody would look over their glasses at you. Do you find reading the Bible boring? Here are some thoughts. Number one, ask an honest why. Why? We often live an unexamined life, so bringing thought and intention to the why beneath our feelings or choices can be powerful. At first, many of us may be tempted to stick a quick shame message here. Like, I know my heart is wicked, I don't even want to read the Bible anymore, man, I'm a terrible Christian, etc., right? Guilt. But we need to understand the why. Uncovering the why behind what we do is foundational to keeping us committed. You go to work because you need to feed yourself and your family. You work out because you want to be healthy. That's why I work out. Hey. You cook and prepare food because you need to eat every day. Even if the why is unthought of, we do these actions because of the why. That's why we do them. The issue with a lot of our spiritual disciplines is that we've never sat down to consider the why. If you don't know why you should read the Bible, you will never read the Bible when it's hard to do so. Let me say that again. If you don't know why you should read the Bible, you will never read the Bible when it's hard to do so. So here are some good questions to ask yourself about Bible reading. Number one, do I approach God's word with anticipation? Do I approach God's word with anticipation? Remember Job 23:13? I've not departed from the command of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. To Job, God's word was more essential than food. Now, you may decide deliberately to fast. That's an intentional decision. But if you didn't decide to fast, as soon as your stomach growls or you become hangry, you look for something to eat. You don't forego it, but do we forego reading God's word? Or number two, have I prepared my heart through prayer? Prayer is a warm-up before the heavy lifting of reading Scripture. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to understand what I'm reading, so I don't just go and read. I need his help. The newest Scripture is 2,000 years old, and then the Old Testament's older yet. Further, am I devoting time to hear him speak? In our fast-paced culture, we often expect quick fixes, even from the Bible. When we don't have an immediate epiphany, we tend to disengage. Meditating on Scripture involves tuning out the world's noise to tune into God's voice. You see, my wife can call me while I'm driving, and if I have the radio blaring, she's talking, but I can't hear her because I got all this white noise going. And sometimes you and I haven't figured out how to quiet all the white noise, how to remove all the distractions, and then we're trying to focus on Scripture, and our mind is doing a million other things. Or we've got so much noise going on. You've got to find a way to calm that white noise, to get away from that, to sit in silence. When I started here, I decided to take a retreat of silence. And I jumped on my motorbike and I went to Moose Lake. And I sat there. It was kind of chilly, but I sat there on the beach by myself. And I decided not to read my Bible. I decided not to open my iPhone and listen to music. I decided I was going to sit there before God and listen. Oh, that was hard. You get me? That was hard. It took some doing. And finally, when I felt prompted and felt like, okay, now I can, and I was praying and stuff, but then I finally opened my Bible and I started reading. Then I opened my phone, I listened to worship music. But if I would have jumped to all of that, I would not have been in a posture of listening. And that's also why I asked us to wipe off the whiteboard in the prayer room of all of our prayer requests, because I actually want us to focus on asking God what he wants to do in our midst, praying for revival, etc., not just the wish list of gimme, gimme, gimme. If your prayer life is that, you need to recalibrate. I know it's hard. It's hard to listen, especially those of us that like to talk. It's hard to listen. That I confess. You and I need to ask the Holy Spirit for help. We work to follow and obey God, but we cannot work apart from his working in us. We cannot change unless the Holy Spirit changes us from within. We don't love God's word until he helps us to do it. And as I said last Sunday, hear God's voice, transform your life. Hear God's voice, transform your life. Further, do I have a dysfunctional relationship with God? Do I have a dysfunctional relationship with God? Let's be honest, if you don't read your Bible, it's because you don't want to read your Bible. And this is indicative of your relationship with God. Can you imagine? Let's just say that I'm single. My wife's still here. Okay. And we're dating. And there'd be no the conversation would be one way. It would just be her talking, but I wouldn't engage. What do you do with God's word? Like he wants to talk to you. And he wants to talk to you personally, but he also wants to talk to you through his word. And he'll never contradict himself. You can't separate a love for the word of God from the God of the word. You can't separate a love for the Word of God from the God of the Word. If you're not reading your Bible, in some ways you're telling God, or listening to your Bible, you're telling God that you're not interested. I know I'm being a little harsh this morning. Sorry. You can meet me out back after. Am I learning firsthand or content to be spoon-fed? Treasuring God's Word is more than reading the Bible. It's meditating on the Word of God so that we can also reflect the Word of God to those around us. Don't expect to understand everything the first time. In fact, that's the beauty of Scripture. You can read that passage for the 200th time and something jumps out at you, right? It's amazing how that works. You will just continue to discover things if you keep at it. Many people give up Bible reading because they come to a place in the Bible that's hard to understand. Then they stop reading altogether. Don't stop there. Have I responded in prayer and worship? When we use God's words to respond to Him, Scripture makes us come alive to Him. Have we reduced Scripture to fast food, spiritual fast food? In our swipe and scroll culture, Bible verses can become a spiritual equivalent of a drive-through meal. Quick, convenient, momentarily satisfying, but lacking the nutrients needed for genuine growth. We double tap well-designed verses, then scroll on unchanged. And this casual engagement would probably shock first century believers who understood that knowing God required more than just passive reading. It demanded active engagement. The Bible wasn't written to enhance your feed. It was written to challenge your life. Today's digital Christianity risks reducing the Word of God to an inspirational wallpaper. The question isn't whether Bible verse posts are good, but whether they've become substitutes for genuine engagement. They should be springboards, not destinations. Hear God's voice transform your life. Have you ever thought of switching it up? Switch things up. Sometimes it's necessary to proactively introduce a positive change. Trust your spiritual instincts. Sometimes instead of reading more, you need time to process what you've read. More isn't necessarily better. It's been said a change is as good as a rest. If you read the Bible, try listening to it. Listen to your audio Bible. Or listen as you read. In fact, if you read and listen at the same time, it'll sink in much better. There are many who have different learning and reading challenges, but there are creative ways that you can learn to get faith from your Bible. For some, using an audio Bible helps tremendously, like YouVersion. What about translations? Why not try a new translation or a new layout? Often people are frustrated and uninspired by their Bible reading, but they haven't questioned the translation they're using. The New Living Translation or the NIV are pretty clear and use words that we would use in daily life. They've taken the these and the thous out. Teenagers might connect best with the New Century Version or the New International Reader's Version. So maybe try different versions. And actually, sometimes I like to read a passage of Scripture in multiple versions because I'll understand it differently. What about watching one of Bible Project's videos? You can find themes. If you go to Bible Project's website, you'll find themes or overviews of Bible books. Maybe you find a particular book of the Bible really difficult to understand. Watch the Bible Project video. It's less than 5 minutes generally. And now you have an overview of the book. You have an understanding of the book. And now you can go and read the book from that perspective. It'll be much easier to understand. Find a fresh method. There's no one right way to meet with the Lord and Scripture. And if you find yourself getting bored with your routine, switch it up. And I've done the Bible reading in a year plan, and I'm not against it. I really enjoyed the chronological Bible because it put things in perspective for me. The one caveat here, the one problem is that often because you have to read so many chapters to get the Bible read in a year, that after, it's like New Year's resolutions, after a week or two in, now you've missed 3 or 4 days and you're just pounding through to catch up. So you're reading just to be able to say that you finished it. Well, I'd rather have you meditate on one paragraph or two verses than to chug through and say, I read the whole Bible this year. How much of it stayed here or here, right? So I'm not telling you don't read the Bible in a year. I'm just saying, careful. Then, no, it's not forever. In a balanced life, engaging with the Bible should be both a discipline and a desire. Engaging the Bible is meant to be done long-term, over the course of a lifetime, not in the span of a few months or a year. Read it anyway. It's hard to read the Bible when you don't feel like it. Sometimes we just have to do it. We have to do what needs to be done, even if we'd rather do something else. Knowing we need it doesn't make reading the Bible any less boring. But how can you learn to enjoy something if you've never partaken of it? Don't be afraid if reading the Bible tastes like medicine right now. It'll start to taste better. Just pick it up and read. Be disciplined. Don't read based on your feelings. Feelings are not truth tellers, and feeling motivated might never come. If you wait until you feel like reading your Bible or listening to it, you might never read. Reading the Bible is a choice we make based on the truth we understand with our minds. Let's not allow feelings to hinder our Bible reading and move past the lack of desire. And then don't stop when you miss a day. Don't just quit then. Bible reading isn't about a checklist, although having a Bible reading plan is a great idea. Sometimes doing a Bible reading plan with others helps us to engage consistently. And then don't wait for a perfect time. Oh, it has to be just perfect. If you wait for a literal quiet time to spend it with God, you might never find it. Make Bible reading a priority, like Susanna Wesley. If you wait to read the Bible when it's easy and desirable, you will only be a healthy Christian when it's convenient. So, find creative ways to engage with God's Word and make it an important part of your day. And even if you just read a verse or two and meditate on that verse or two and apply it to your heart and pray about it, that's a great step forward. You know, you and I have more creative options today than ever before, and more resources. So I guess this morning I'm telling you that we actually don't have excuses. Can you imagine there was a time when people didn't have access to the written word? Only the very wealthy could have scripture or books, literature. You and I have so much at our fingertips. Find ways to engage with God's word. This book that I had down here with all the Bibles, How We Read the Bible. I think it's in the church library. Take it out and allow it to help you to figure out how to read your Bible. If you need further help, come and see me. I'd be glad to sit down with you and chat about that. And enjoy your time in God's Word. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Geraldine and Stanley to come up. Heavenly Father, you've spoken to us clearly through your word. It's a story from beginning to end of your engagement with humanity and your desire to restore what was lost. And we need to understand and get to know you through your word and get to love you and your word. And so I pray that you would help us to be diligent, faithful pursuers of you in your word, in our prayer life, and in every way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if there are some questions, we'll see if we have questions or comments. There are times when I read the Bible and I feel like I don't understand a thing. How can I better understand the Bible? Let me do the sermon again. I'm kidding. You guys have...
Okay. The Bible is God's word, and you cannot know about a person until the person tells you about himself. And God has given us the Spirit of God to help us understand him and know his ways. And so, just like one of the points that Pastor used, if you want to read and understand the Bible, involve God. How do you involve God? Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to walk you through it and interpret it in your heart. Myself, I struggle without praying before I read the Bible. So before I ever read, I would pray and ask him to speak to me and make me understand it, because I don't want to read the Bible as a storybook, but I want to read it as God's word to me. So engage the Holy Spirit. That would be what I'll say.
There's so they're both pastors, so they're going to give you pastory answers, and I'm a journalist, so I'll give you a journalist answer.
Perfect.
You can research it. If you use a Bible app, often those have commentaries on them. You can sometimes find good resources online, but that could be a bit of a minefield. Commentaries. I mean, are there commentaries in the library here?
I got to check. I have them all on my laptop, so I never go look for a commentary.
All right. Okay. So I personally only have them for a few books.
There are some good websites too that I've put in the resources page on our website.
Okay.
I often go to gotquestions.com because it's fairly concise. It's not a 15-page answer. And so far, I've found them to be fairly reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Find those resources. Find a good commentary. Like the NIV application commentary is wonderful. I look at that one before I look at any other commentaries.
Some of you might not think of this as an option, but there's loads and loads of like Bible scholars, Bible historians, theologians out there. And as a journalist, I'm not shy about calling an expert. And I'm not sure if they will answer you, but be persistent. Follow up a couple times, and they might. Like I've been able to get in contact with all kinds of researchers over the years. I mean, like, I don't understand gene editing either, but I have to write about it. So you talk to a scientist. Well, same here. So, yeah. And it's often really fun.
Okay. Good. That's it. Thank you. Oh, we got one more that just came through. Sorry. We're back. Sorry, praise band. I've heard it said that we should read the Bible with starting with what we understand and working toward what you don't understand. Is this a good approach so that we don't get discouraged with the hard parts of the Bible?
How would that work?
I would say that I would start with the Gospels because it talks about the life of Christ, and I would go to the Gospel of John because it's the easiest Gospel to understand. That's where I would start, personally, and then expand from there. Don't stay away from Scripture because it's difficult and hard. I mean, we went through the minor prophets. People often avoid those, but we learned something. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, just start from the simple things and grow into the complex.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it a little bit more than that. That does make some sense. There's certain books that are very teaching-rich stories, but they are still stories. And I find that you can pick up a lot, say, like, about Jesus' personality just by reading the things he does. It's fun sometimes to read his interactions with people and to sort of laugh at his audacity. And I feel like you can just develop affection and love for him or for the other people in the Bible just by reading about what they do. And that doesn't take a great depth of understanding or a commentary to notice.
Got one more here. And often these questions or comments are loaded, that it requires a conversation. But I don't often feel a strong connection to God when I'm reading Scripture. Am I doing something wrong? And I think without understanding exactly what's going on, I would say my advice would be to start with prayer, because that conversation is important. This is a conversation. It's not about reading. It's a conversation with God. So start with prayer. Open your heart and your mind. I remember as a teenager, you know, I felt like I had to pray before I went to sleep. And I remember one night, I don't remember what the issue was, but I said, God, I really don't feel like talking to you today. And it was funny because as I processed honestly, suddenly that all went away and I was talking to him. Okay, so be honest. He knows. So praying, maybe it's necessary to open your heart and your life to him. And then when you're reading scripture, don't read it like a storybook. Read it like a conversation between you and God. And what do you want to say with your word to me today? That's where I would start. You guys have any thoughts?
I want to say something that is somehow. I discovered something that is like a spiritual attack. And I will explain it the way I understand it. When you gradually start shifting from what you used to do with God before and make very valid excuses for those things, your spiritual life is under attack. It doesn't look like you see the devil fighting you. It's very subtle. It starts from you not praying, graduates from you not picking up your Bible, grows into you making excuses of not coming to church on certain days, and before you know it, gradually, your grip and your relationship with God is drifting apart. Mm. Remember that only communication builds a relationship together. Once that communication starts gradually slipping off, the relationship is going. You might be living with the person in the same house, but the relationship is going. And the day the person moves out of the house was not the day the relationship collapsed. It started dying from when communication started breaking. So once you are struggling with reading your Bible, with praying, just know that that's your spiritual life. Satan is launching an attack, and address it as quickly as possible with prayers.
Not related to Bible reading exactly, but quite tied into it, I think. I've never considered myself to be good at praying. I've tended to assume, oh, that's just not my gifting. To the point that I just, like, it's not something I spend tons of time doing. And recently I was listening to an audiobook, Tim Keller, about prayer. And I can't remember the exact wording, but the impression that it left on me was that, it's normal to struggle praying. It is hard. Just practice. Stick with it. And that challenged me to try to increase my... the time I spend in prayer. Now I use an assist. I use the Lectio 365 app, which Pastor Ernie, I think, is familiar with. But I think maybe some of the similar things applies to this with the feelings. I don't think that's necessarily you being a weirdo or defective in some way. I think, you know, that's something that maybe some self-examination would be a good thing to see where that's coming from. But I don't think that's you being defective or odd. I think that's just a time to remember that anything worth doing is worth doing badly for a while until it gets easy again.
Okay, thank you, both of you. Praise band one.